Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 193, Mindfulness. I think I've said that word as much as I've said thankful and being grateful, being mindful. So I found a little list of things to be mindful at work, and I thought that would be a great thing. And this monk, I believe his name, it's hard to pronounce his name, Thich Nhat Hanh, the cat I followed. I just catch his quotes every once in a while, and heavily influenced in the mindfulness area. I figured this would be a great list to share. Just to, little tools out there. You just set them out there, and people grab the ones they like, and if you use one, and it, elevates you, makes you feel a little better, maybe you'll keep using that tool. So mindfulness, mindfulness, mindfulness. All day, every day. Just like being pro you. Hope you're happy. Hope you're healthy. Hope you're having a fabulous Thursday. Enjoy. So in April of 2018, I will have lived in this current location for 5 years. So at the 2-year juncture, I felt pretty healed. I think it was around a year and a half that I started actually doing some things and having some clarity, but it was about the 2-year mark, and that's when I kind of remember going, okay, I know I healed by being thankful and being mindful. So what am I going to continue to do consistently? Be thankful, be mindful. What am I going to tell people that I did to heal? I'm going to tell them that I was thankful and mindful. What am I going to share on my podcast? What am I going to tell people the rest of my life? To be thankful and mindful. Kind of been consistent with that. So I love when things kind of come up to support that. Along my pro-you path, I'm not the most well-read guy in the world, but I've always collected quotes. And I was thinking one time of just pulling out that old Word document and just reading all of the quotes I've collected. I mean, there's just thousands of them. But anyways, I thought of, mindfulness to me. I knew it, thankfulness, being grateful, AA, a lot of that stuff taught me about just being thankful. What do you have right now? Like, what if you lost that? Like, just the, just the value of really being able to focus on that which you have and really, really sincerely just be thankful for it. Mindfulness to me was about choosing your thoughts, was about decreasing that voice, thinking about the things that you do well, thinking about the things that you like about yourself, having that space between your ears, be a pleasant area, not one of white noise and chaos. But again, not the big reader, not the big researcher, any of that. But I've had this document for a while, and this cat named Thich Nhat Hanh, I believe is how you pronounce his name, is a Buddhist monk. And I've just seen his name a ton of times, and I'm like, oh, cool. Here's a little something on being mindful at work. Well, then I was like, it's by this dude. I'm like, well, let me kind of specifically find out. So I got a little background. I'm like, it kind of helps me. Now I'm kind of doing a little research because I want to know a little bit more about the guy because, I'm sharing you know, what he's sharing. So I kind of like him. I'm learning. I'm an old dog learning new stuff. So he has been writing books about peace and mindfulness for decades. In fact, he has been called the father of mindfulness. I thought, well, pretty good call for me. For the sheer immensity of work he has done in that area. He is currently the leader of a network of over 600 monks and nuns who in turn teach mindfulness to thousands of lay students around the world, spreading his words of peace, nonviolence, mindfulness, community, and love around the world. In addition to being noted for his amazing contribution to the mindfulness movement, I love that mindfulness movement, he has been a long-term fighter for equality and nonviolence. Gotta love that. In fact, Martin Luther King once referred to him as Apostle of Peace and Nonviolence. Not a bad title. Not a bad dude to get it from. He was born to humble beginnings in Central Vietnam in 1926. He began his training as a Buddhist at 16 years old. In the 60s, he began to gain notice for his teachings on engaged Buddhism, also known as humanistic Buddhism. His idea was that Buddhists needed to be more than just contemplative. They needed to share and promote their wisdom to the world, trying to make changes for the better. Love that. People, so these are some of the quotes that I grabbed that I just kind of got my eye from this article. I mean, it's just a ton of information. I mean, I guess all he's quotes that they have listed were taken from all his books, and he's written so much that there's just a ton on this guy. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to pull out all my quotes, but let me read some of his quotes, and then I'll get to the mindfulness list. There's 15 things he lists for being mindful. And one thing I wanted to say is, like, you know, not that many people ask me, you know, well, what are you, or what religion are you, or what. You know, it doesn't come up a whole lot. But once in a while, I just kind of think that, you know, because you're, you know, hardcore brainwashed being a Catholic. You know, it's just intense. Everything you learn about everything, you know, until you get to X age, it's just one thing, and it's kind of scary and heavy, and a lot of that guilt from my parents that they felt from their parents, you know, was shot down to me, so... You know, I just kind of had a really, you know, if I look back on an uncomfortable experience with Catholicism, and, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff that we could talk about as well. But then, you know, I got baptized as a Christian. And then, you know, just slowly saw more and more that which I didn't agree with, or it didn't serve me, and, you know, one church to another, and then, yeah, I don't know, I just was like, why? What am I getting out of this? Was kind of it. I mean, I think that was just like, why? Like, you have to. You have to go to church. You have to go to a church. Like, why? Why? So I have not been to a church in, well, that's like 2 years. But I've been to the beach a lot, which is my church. But I'm not a Buddhist, neither. But I just dig a lot of the stuff that, you know, cats like this talk about. And I want to share what I've learned to make the world better. Well, yay. Like, how could I not be into that? Like, that's all I talk about. Why I do what I do. So I'm not big into labels at all. Because it's like you're supposed to fit into one, and if you don't, then you feel weird, and then people look at you weird because they want to know, so they don't have to think about you or be curious about you, because you're always evolving or changing or growing in a positive pro-you kind of way. So it's just easier for people. But, I mean, I just, like, was put in a box and left that box, and then fell into another box and then left that box, and just, and to me it was like when people were like, well, what's the best martial art? I'm like, there's not. You know, I mean, Bruce Lee was great at what he did, not because he did Tai Chi, or he did Jeet Kune Do, or he did Kung Fu, or, you know, he was him. That's like Jordan. Michael Jordan would have played on any team. He would have been Michael Jordan. Kobe Bryant would have been Kobe Bryant. You know, those people are those people, not because they belong to or they're a part of. So when people say, what's the best martial art? I'm like, you know, pick one that you like. You know, you'll learn something from that which you're consistent with. And if you like something, you'll be consistent and you'll take from that. You know, I happened to fall into a Korean martial art that was into spinning, kicking, jumping, spinning, kicking. And I loved that. So I just kind of got lucky that first class. But as I went through martial arts, I saw, you know, what it was like to be in Shotokan, or what it was like to be, you know, a kung fu artist, or inspire those people or see their forms. And, you know, I got to see the different things, and I would steal. I mean, I think that's what I have a book friend gave me, and it said, steal like an artist, like every artist steals. You know, you don't got to reinvent the wheel. Don't grab it, because your fingerprint on it will make it different. You know, I mean, Kobe Bryant had the exact moves copied of Michael Jordan. I mean, there's a video I saw where it would be just one, you know, fadeaway jump shot, Michael Jordan, and the same exact thing in every way, shape, and form, Kobe Bryant doing it. But they're totally different players. These are totally different people. Unique snowflakes. So I would rather go through life and hang out with someone that was a certain religion or from a certain culture and learn. You know, broaden those horizons versus, you know, I have to be enough. You're in a church, a religion, or a group, whatever that makes you happy and supports you, yay, fantastic. If it makes you a better you, yay. I'm not cutting down anything. Again, I am sharing my Pro-U experience on my Pro-U podcast. It's kind of what I get to do, being the king. I'm not a king anywhere else. I serve Zen. I don't think I've been a king anywhere else. But the king of the podcast, I am. I am, I am. Popeye popped into my head. All right, so here's some cool quotes that I grabbed from my boy, Thich Nhat Hanh. People deal too much with the negative, with what is wrong. Why not try and see positive things, to just touch those things and make them blue? That last word was bloom. I faded there. But I go, why was I thankful? Well, I was thankful for what I had. And then what I had, it's like it got better. And I was like more thankful for my dog's really cool. I'm in really good shape. I love my house. Like, those are things I had. They just got better. So why not try and see the positive things? Just touch those things and make them bloom. Flame whatever fire. Indian little saying, there's evil and good. Two wolves in each of us, and they fight. Which one wins? Whichever one you feed. And all those little sayings are all about those same things. Make them bloom. That's what I'm saying. You're you. You got 7, 8 great things out of 10. Focus on them. If other people don't, bloom them. You know what I mean? To be beautiful means to be yourself. You don't need to be accepted by others. You need to accept yourself. See, to me, they're all consistent. They're just continual. Like, that just backs up the first one. Why not try to see the positive things, just to touch those things and make them bloom? You need to accept yourself, your life, as is, right now. Not, hey, it sucks, just deal, because you don't deserve better. It doesn't suck. It's probably way better. But what are you focused on? That which you have or that which you have not? What are you focused on? That which you can control, or that which you can't control? To be beautiful means to be yourself. You. you taller, you shorter, you with different hair, you living somewhere else, you working somewhere else, you. Are you feeling me? I just feel good right now. I feel like I'm landing. Hope is important because it can make the present moment less difficult to bear. If we believe that tomorrow will be better, we can bear a hardship today. And I love this stuff partly because it sounds like a lot of the stuff I talk about. So I love when I get reinforcement from, wow, this dude's published, authored, well-renowned. And I've never read these specific quotes before. You know, I just pulled them up on this little info on his background. But I love that. You know, hope, when I'm talking about do those little things consistently. It's not because if you, okay, I'm going to do them, now I feel amazing. It's like, no, I'm going to start doing those little things consistently because I believe good will come. That's hope, yo. You believe good will come. You believe it will get better. So you can deal with today. You know, like I said, a 4 out of 10, the bad is overwhelming and the good is never enough. And 7, 8 out of 10 is just thankful for the good and embraces and accepts whatever the bad is. To think in terms of either pessimism or optimism oversimplifies the truth. The problem is to see reality as it is. Boom. See, again, to me, they're just all reiterating the one before. The problem, the challenge, the goal, see reality as it is. Who do you see when you look in the mirror? What do you have? What's on your gratitude list? What are the thoughts that you allow rolling around between your ears? My actions are my only true belongings. That's deep. Because, like, what goes with you? If you move somewhere, no one knew you. And then they got this little ticker tape that said, hey, this is what this cat's done. We'll travel with you. You can't outrun what you've done. You can't outrun your past. So, like, your actions, they're connected to you forever. But I've never heard it like that. Are your only true belongings. You know, end of the day, someone else can live in your house, drive your car. Maybe wear your clothes. But your actions, your words are yours. If we are not happy, if we are not peaceful, we cannot share peace and happiness with others, even those we love, those who live under the same roof. If we are peaceful, if we are happy, we can smile and blossom like a flower. And everyone in our family will benefit from our peace. Now, there's a quote that I read probably 3 years in a row if I kept doing it. But it was the internal peace that you achieve. No one will see it like in the outside world. You might even be accused of being lazy, but the people closest to you. And that's what happened to me during AA. Some people that were close to me, like, God, you know, Tom seems different. You know, I heard about it, you know, in the little inner circle. So, if you're that caretaker, you put everyone first, you do for everyone else, and then you're too tired to do for you, think about that fountain analogy I always talk about. You know, the quality of what comes out of that fountain is directly correlated to the quality of the fountain itself. The fountain's clogged and rusty and plugged, and not really throwing out a lot of cool water. So instead of focusing on the external, where your stuff lands, try to focus on you, making you better. So what comes out of you is better. Then it doesn't matter where it lands, who sees it or who gets it or whatever. You'll know that that flow, just it's coming out of you and it's not filtered. It's just, you know, organic. It's just truth. It's who you are. It's who you have to be. That's pro you. No one has ever lived in the past or the future, only the now. Heavy, heavy stuff. I hope you're sitting down. Buddhism teaches that the joy and happiness arise from letting go. Sit down, take an inventory of your life. There are things you've been hanging on to that really are not useful and deprive you of your freedom. Find the courage to let them go. That which does not serve you. You know, I talk about that stuff all the time. And again, if I'm really focused on that which I have, I'm kind of more or less letting go of the things I can't control and that I don't have. So that's that letting go. Well, I'm not talking to so-and-so. I don't have so-and-so. I'm not, yeah, but I got this and this and that. I'm doing this. I look like this. I feel like this. Yellow and purple. Not talking by itself already can bring a significant degree of peace. If we can also offer ourselves the deeper silence of not thinking, we can find in that quiet a wonderful lightness and freedom. So I wrote this down. I write down these little notes for podcast ideas or whatever. And I remember the very first time, you know, like when you're really in a funk or depressed, well, I mean, maybe, I can't say, I don't want to say everybody, but when I would walk in my apartment, like, lights on, TV on, I wanted noise, I wanted stimuli, I didn't want quiet and dark. And so I remember the very first time I came home, and it was, you know, it was evening, and it was dark, and I just came in, and I sat in this very chair at my desk, Pro U Hub. And my screensaver was on. And, you know, out feeling better. You know, this is kind of towards the healing had happened. And I just sat, like, just like I was just going to, oh, let me just sit for a second. And I just started looking at my screensaver, which is super dope. It's all my, you know, balancing and stones and beach. So it's just, it's sunset. It's just badass. It is. It's just ridiculous. But I'm not going to sit there and just watch it with no noise or no lights on. And I can't remember how long it was. I didn't fall asleep. I didn't nod, nothing. I just sat there in the quiet, in the dark, watching my screensaver. That's 3 years ago. How do I remember that? Why do I remember that? Because I was like, oh, wow. I haven't done that in forever. When I just sat in the quiet, So this is about a month ago. This is when I wrote this note. I was going to record on my phone my screensaver. Because now, I mean, it's way better. Because, you know, my stone balancing is better. Because I'm better. So I was sitting here and said, oh, I should record this. And then I sat and I watched it and I just sat there. And again, not thinking about, oh, I should do this. Oh, I'm nothing. I just, and then I went, that's the second time I've done that. And it was cool that I was aware that it was the second time I've done that. I was kind of proud because, like, by default, I would just go into that quiet. Not a plan, not I need to, not I should, not I haven't in a while. And I allow myself to. Doing it different. Letting go. Find the courage to let them go, people. Find in that quiet a wonderful lightness and freedom, people. for things to reveal themselves to us, we need to be ready to abandon our views about them. I love that. So you meet that person and, oh, they're amazing. And you just have in your mind what they're like. And then after time, they start going their own way and you start being confused and you start wanting to change them and you try really hard to change them and completely unaware that it's very difficult to change that person because you've really never tried to change yourself. So, like, you got to meet someone and go, okay, I'm going to accept them as is, all of them. Support, love, all of them. The good, the bad, the ugly, everything. There's that song, I Got Issues. Yeah, you do too. And that's the same thing. So I love that. You know, like, you just go, okay, if I get that job, I'm just going to, it's going to be so perfect. It's going to be like, you got to just move forward in life and go, okay, there will be good and there will be not good. How you respond to that. That missing piece does not exist. Does not exist. Abandon your views about the things so you allow them to reveal themselves to you. There are thousands of channels in our consciousness. It is up to us to choose the channel. Come on now. That's what I've been saying the whole entire time I've been reading this stuff. And whatever that means to you, 1,000 channels, 1,000 thoughts, view, whatever, you still, I got so much on my mind, you still get to pick that one thought right now. You get to pick that thought. It might be difficult. It might be hard to hold on to. But you get to choose. And I'm going to get into these 15 practical steps to bring mindfulness to our work. So I thought, well, I like this, these quotes. I like this stuff. This is great, you know, and I apply it all the time. I'm like, yeah, but people are, you know, busy working, job, stressed. And then I saw this in my file. Hello. So I hope it helps. Why I do what I do. Number one. You know, I always say take out numbers and all that kind of stuff. But number one, start your day with 10 minutes of sitting and meditation. I do 3 minutes at the end. And, you know, no one's ever said, hey, can you do that longer? I mean, I'm sure there are people that might want to do it longer, but it's hard to sit in silence. And 10 minutes might be a lot if you haven't done it. So, you know, do 2, do 3, do 5, something like that. But it's starting your day. And starting your day with meditation is going, okay, I'm going to control this day. I'm going to slow it down right now. I'm going to connect myself. And then I'll start my day. See, you're already going, what can I control? Well, I can do that. I can go, oh, I'm running downstairs and, you know, throwing the coffee on and checking my email and, you know, turning the shower on and, you know, just multitasking out of the gate. I said, no, I'm just going to kind of bring it all into a center. A beginning, zero. Point of origin. And see, that's it also. Wow, you did that. Yep, it's not that hard, but you got to take the time to do it. But then you're like, okay, now I'll do that next one. You know, that Zen thing. I'm just going to do one thing at a time. Okay, I'm going to meditate, and then I'm going to do that next thing. AA, next indicated step. All right, I'm going to get up, meditate. And then I'm doing the next thing, whatever that next thing is. But right now, I'm going to pause. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to close my eyes. And I'm going to be thankful for this day that I get. Number two, take the time to sit down and enjoy eating breakfast at home. I don't probably know anybody that does that. I just think that breakfast, you know, people are just getting up and running. Either eating in the car, eating on the way, stopping, picking it up, eating it at work. But see, it's all this. Start your day with 10 minutes of meditation. Now take the time to sit and enjoy. Well, I got all these things to do. Yeah, how you doing? Keep doing what you're doing. Keep getting what you're getting. You want a little different, you might have to do a little different. Just listen. Write some of these down. You don't have to do them all. Don't get all, I'm doing it wrong. I got to do it different and right. No. How do you feel? Do you want to feel different or better? Then you do different and better. 3. Remind yourself every day as your gratitude for being alive and having 24 brand new hours to live. I just mentioned that before, not even thinking about 3. But you get up, you start, you meditate, you eat breakfast, you're pausing, and you get to be thankful that you get that day. Boom. 4. Try not to divide your time into my time and work. This is kind of cool when I read it the first time. All time can be your own time if you stay in the present moment and keep in touch with what's happening in your body and mind. Again, throw you a moment. You're thinking about your breath, so you're connecting your mind and body, which makes you present. So when you're done with those 180 seconds, you're like, wow, that felt kind of good for 3 minutes. Yeah. When you block out everything and connect that mind and body, you can do that throughout the day. You can stay connected. You can stay in the moment. There's no reason why your time at work should be any less pleasant than your time anywhere else. And if you're not experiencing that, would that not be dope to feel? Like, oh, I love how I feel at home with my kids, or, you know, on the weekends when I'm doing whatever. It's like, you know, state of mind can be with you all the time. So again, these are just things to think about. These are just things that are possible if you take the time, think, reflect, spend some time in quiet. You know, these things are not long lines to do these things. No one wants to do these things. Resist, 5. Resist. Okay, I did that. Resist the urge to make calls on your cell phone while on your way to and from work or on your way to appointments. Allow yourself this time to just be with yourself, with nature and the world around you. Don't commute. Hate commuting. Did it for a while. Hated it. I'll do everything in my power to never have to do it again, but I'll drive a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour to the beach. And I'd never mind that. Like, again, I'm going to the beach, so, but I'm pretty cool in it. I'm like, oh, it's going to take me an hour. And another note I wrote, I was talking to this dog owner and asked me about the beach. And she's like, well, how long does it take? And I thought, right when she said it, what happened inside me was going, that's time. That's how people look at time differently. I was like, I get to go today. I don't care how long it takes. I don't mind the ride. It's typically up PCH, which is, you know, to me the most amazing road I've ever been on. And I'm with my dog, and I'm like, I don't. So I really, again, I think this is a challenge because I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's like, hey, I got an hour commute. I'm going to get things done on the phone. And it's a great time to get things done. But again, that's the point. If you're getting all the things done, how do you feel? Well, I feel good that I got all the things done, but how do you feel about you, your health? You know, I mean, I chased the to-do list for a long time. Just, you know, maniac getting things done and going, and that high, killed it today. And the next day I'd be tired and depressed and wondering why that happened. And so that up and down. And so these are just suggestions, not rules. So if you take one, two, take the good, move forward. Just like I said, you know, take that martial art, take that one, take a little bit of that, you know, wrestle, box, do judo, take a little bit of everything to learn. So whatever, so you take one of these and it helps you. Yay, I'm glad I read it. So again, these can just be seeds that just get planted. And you might go, yeah, I'd never do that. And a month later, you're like, I started doing that just like it happened. And wow, now that felt better. So I'm going to keep doing that. Pro you, baby. 6, a range of breathing area at work where you can go to calm down, stop, and have a rest. Take regular breathing breaks to come back to your body and to bring your thoughts back to the present. Well, again, that pro you moment, you know, I think you can do that anywhere. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I have this special area. But if you do, if you can go outside and you got this little, you know, lunch area, or it's just wherever, you know, if you can go to a place where it's nature outside a little bit more pleasant. But, you know, I do that pro you moment right here at my desk, and I'm like totally into it when I do it. You know, I'm like, okay, I need to be outside, and, you know, so I can, you know, just, you know, music, candles, all those kind of things can make that place pretty cool. And if you just close your eyes and breathe, I say it all the time, you can change almost anything that you're thinking or feeling with three breaths with your eyes closed. 7, at lunchtime, eat only your food and not your fears or worries. Isn't that great? Eat only your food, not your fears or worries. So when you stop to take a break from work, you shouldn't, well, let the yellow in. I've got time now. Don't eat lunch at your desk. Change environment. Go for a walk. And that ties in, you know, pretty much with the one before that. You know, that place that you go to, if you can, just to change some of the variables, some of the stimuli, which will affect you differently. And that's sometimes all you need. Make a ritual out of drinking your tea. Stop work and look deeply into your tea to see everything that went into making it. The clouds and the rain and the tea plantations and the workers harvesting the tea. That's probably one I'm not going to do. 9, before going to a meeting, visualize someone very peaceful, mindful, and skillful being with you. Take refuge in this person to help stay calm and peaceful. See, that's to me a great one, because if you think of just faith, like there's something bigger than you happening. Oh, cool. I don't have to be in charge of it. I don't have to make it all happening. I can just be me. I can just do my part. Kind of just take refuge in that. That's a great one. 10, if you feel anger or irritation, refrain from saying or doing anything straight away. Oh, you mean like pause and respond? Come back to your breathing and follow your in and out breath until you've calmed down. See? Count to 10. Respond. All those things. They kind of keep you anchored. And if you keep going back to that anchor, that muscle will become stronger. And then you're like, wow, that being, you know, connected to that anchor all the time is great. Then you'll love it and appreciate it. Then you won't let anything take you away from it. Come back to your breathing and follow your in and out breath until you've calmed down. 11, practice looking at your boss, superiors, colleagues, subordinates as your allies, not your enemies. Recognize that working collaboratively brings more satisfaction and joy than working alone. Know that the success and happiness of everyone is your own success. 12, express your gratitude and appreciation for your colleagues regularly for their positive qualities. This will transform the whole work environment, making it much more harmonious and pleasant for everyone. You know, focus on the positive. That's what I said. You know, if you focus on your positive, you'll feel good. And if you focus on others good, that'll make them feel good. And all that positive, you know, it's all about creating that positive energy. And that is a better environment, work environment. 13, try to relax and restore yourself before going home so you don't bring accumulated negative energy or frustration home with you. Love that. I always have agreed with that and heard it many different ways. You know, stop your car, park, close your eyes, take some breaths, remember all the beautiful things inside that home, be thankful for them, and then walk in. Way different than work sucked. I'm walking in that house and nothing better, you know, add to the bad. Mindset. And you get to do it. You get to pick. You get to choose a channel. 14, take some time to relax and come back to yourself when you get home before starting on household chores. Like a little bit of transition. You know, just again, that multitasking to get things done because it's never ending. You know, when you die, your to-do list will be undone. Remember that. Recognize that multitasking means you're never fully present for anyone or anything. Do one thing at a time and give it your full attention. That's the Zen thing. That Hubble telescope documentary I talked about. Dude walks out, connected to a cord, hanging in space, big oven mitts on. He's got to take 12 screws out. He's like, well, I'm just going to take one out at a time. And then I'll think about the second one. You know, be Zen about it. Recognize that multitasking means you're never fully present for any one thing, for any person. So if you come home and you're already da-da-da-da-da-da-da, those people are not getting all of you. Your choice. At the end of the day, keep a journal of all the good things that happened in your day. Water your seeds of joy and gratitude regularly so they can grow. That's what I'm talking about the entire time. You do A and you feel B, which is better, you will more than likely continue to do A. Thus, it will feel better, become a muscle, become your power. So when you're like listening to all, everyone's like, slow down, be quiet. It's like, if you did them all, you'd probably change immediately. And you would like it. Because, you know, that little analogy I've shared where it's like, you know, you're drowning, you get that breath of air. You don't really care about a whole lot when you got that air. So when my voice finally quieted and I could just sit here and watch my screensaver or just sit on the floor and hug Zen and not think about what I was not doing, I'd go to the beach and wonder why I wasn't working or making money, like to experience that quiet, I would not trade that for anything. So that's like, you know, come to my well by the water I sell. I think everybody has a voice. I'm not sure everybody's trying to quiet the voice. And you can still, you know, Russell Crowe, Beautiful Mind, it's going to be there. So you get to choose if it dominates and writes your story or it's just there, it's a passenger and you're driving your car, you're writing your story. Because all this stuff, it's, I mean, right, wrong, good or bad, it's on you. You know, you might have got some things like I got, and you got to work on them, and that's your deal, but you get to. Tammy, my big sister's gone. She doesn't get to. I get to. I get to try thinking about five or six of these, and doing a little better at them, and believing in my heart that I'm going to get a little better, and that I read these, and put that out there, and read about that dude, and got some background, and, you know, there's always two people listening when I'm talking. The person that I'm talking to and myself. So when I'm reading these, when I'm saying these things, I'm hearing myself. Because I just want to continue searching, achieving, embracing, and owning that quiet and the power of that quiet. And I think you should too. Because you are worth it. Love it if people listen to my podcast. If they listen to the podcast, I would love it if they listen to the Pro You Moment at the end. And I would love it if they started doing it consistently. Because you're worth it. Let's get on the floor, fold our legs, close our eyes, begin to control that breath. Slow it down, elongate the inhale through the nose. Slow down, elongate the exhale out the mouth. Slowly in the nose. Slowly out the mouth. Controlling that breath, connecting the mind and body. You can do that for 180 seconds to the best of your ability without critique or judgment. If your mind wanders, just bring it back. Keep a neutral neck, navel tucked into your spine, hips over your shoulders. And again, do your best. And I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Congratulations, another successful pro you moment because you deemed yourself worthy. Taking time, slowing down, spending time alone in quiet, reflecting. There's not a lot of white noise. That's where the answers lie. Within you. Everything you need to know is within you. Everything you need to move forward lies within you. All you need to know about you lies within you. Facing that, addressing that, overcoming, that can be the challenge. It's like you spend part of your lifetime figuring out who you are, so then you can figure out who you want to be. And mindfulness just seems like the word that makes you feel like you're focusing on that, which is important the majority of the time. And if you're being mindful, you're going to be better. better, you'll continue. The tough part is a lot of people have to really do it differently once they get older and they realize all this, that what they learned wasn't exactly the best for them. So once again, it's undoing, unlearning, redoing, and relearning. You can quiet that noise and control that space between your ears. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, home, work, play. That's the goal. Have that state of mind that you choose and have it all the time. That's my goal. And that's my wish for you. Peace and God bless.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.